Our scripture lesson today naturally takes place in John chapter 20, starting in the 24th verse. Easter is not over yet. We still have much work to do before we leave it behind, so to speak. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Jesus said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." May God add his blessings to this. May he join us together in prayer. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we have a journey ahead of us through the words that you have given me to speak today. Let them be strong. Let them be filling. Let them be with understanding. Let them give us the ability to go out and speak openly about your Son, Jesus Christ, and all that is contained there within, Father. We thank you for this time that we will spend together and ask that you bless us through this service. In Jesus' name, and all of his children said, Amen. This is tough. Today, I would like to announce my plans to retire. Do you see a smile on my face? I have long wrestled with this, and the time has come for me to face the facts that I need to retire. I've put it off long, and within the next few months, I stand here in front of my brothers and sisters to say today that I am announcing my plans to retire. That pickup truck of mine, those tires are wore out, and I've put it off long enough. Little bit of fake news. That headline, that start, can get everybody. Now, I've seen a couple faces go, "What?" Let me explain something to you right now before I go any further. I hear this a lot. Pastors will go, "I had to retire." I'm not quite sure that's how it works. In that instruction manual right here that we call the Bible, there's only one way that a pastor retires. Does anybody know what that is?
Die.
Yeah, that's right, death. So you all have condemned me to death. Thanks a whole lot. I will go until I can't go anymore. There was a pastor that I am forevermore in love with, and I look forward to seeing him one day. Great influence on me, Pastor Fred Craddock. He said, "They'll push me up to the pulpit, and if I have to read my sermon notes in Braille, I will go until I can." That's my attitude, but I do need to retire the pickup truck. But can you imagine if you only got something given to you out of context and read it, how it might affect you? Well, I have 10 readings from church bulletins that may or may not been bad when they were first read. Number one, the Reverend Meriwether spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. Number two, or should I go backwards? I'll do the top 10. This is number 9, although I don't know how many actually I have. The 8th graders will be presenting Shakespeare's Hamlet In the church basement on Friday at 7 p.m., the congregation is invited to attend this tragedy. Women's luncheon. Women, each member bring a sandwich. Polly Phillips will give the medication. Twenty-two members were present at the church meeting held at the home of Mrs. Marcia Crutchfield last evening. Mrs. Crutchfield and Mrs. Rankin sang a duet, The Lord Knows Why. The rosebud on the altar this morning is to announce the birth of David Allen Belzer, the son of Reverend and Mrs. Julia Belzer. Barbara remains in the hospital and needs blood donors for more transfusions. She is also having trouble sleeping and requests tapes of Pastor Nelson's sermons. The pastor will preach his farewell message, after which the choir will sing, Break Forth Into Joy. Don't miss this Saturday's exhibit by Christian Martian Arts. Christian Martial Arts, Martian Arts. And finally, Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. Fake news. Somebody reads that for the first time, you know, we can laugh at these things because, frankly, they're silly. But imagine if you heard them out of context. You might be a little bit upset. I did that little joke in front of you all just to see. Some of you laughed and some of you went, what? No. And I'm not telling you that I'm retiring so that you will praise me and make me stay. You're stuck with me. So just forget that. And it's not about me. What it's about is our inability at times to separate fact from fiction. We've heard of fake news. You hear it so much more now since a certain president has been elected. Everything is fake. And to be perfectly honest with you, if you take the time to read through things, you will find out that a fair amount of it truthfully is. It's designed to lead you astray, to place a word in your mind that ought to scare you when you hear it. And that word is doubt. Anything that leads you away, that places it in there, is doubt. G. Campbell Morgan, a great prolific writer, an incredible evangelist, had enjoyed success as a preacher by the time he was 19 years old. 19, was already starting to build congregations. But then he was attacked by doubts concerning the Bible. The writings of various scientists and agnostics disturbed him, such as Charles Darwin and John Tyndale and Thomas Huxley and Herbert Spencer. All of them came after him through their writings, Charles Darwin being the worst. As he read their books and listened to debates, Morgan became more and more perplexed. What do I do? I'm now becoming filled with doubt. He canceled all of his preaching engagements, put all the books in a cover, and locked the door. Went to the bookstore and bought himself a brand new Bible. He said, I am no longer sure that this is what my father claims it to be, the Word of God. But of this I am sure, if it be the Word of God, and I come to it with an unprejudiced, open mind, it will bring assurance to my soul itself. The result, he said, the Bible found me. The new assurance in 1883 gave him the motivation for preaching and teaching, and he devoted himself from that point forward to the study and preaching of God's Word. Let me explain something to you. I am not a smart man. I'm pretty intelligent, but I'm not a learned individual. I cannot quote the Bible. I don't do it. It's not that I have anything. If you can do it, wonderful. I have a couple scriptures that I like, But I read the Bible from a different perspective. I read the Bible to gain understanding. I read technical manuals. There's a big joke going around the house that when the pickup truck came to the house, I got the owner's manual out of the glove box and read it like it was a regular novel. I even drew a little romance novel on the front of it. You know, I showed a guy hugging his truck. Because I love that kind of stuff. Can I remember everything that's in every single one of those technical manuals? No. And you know why? Because I believe that God has set us to a certain point that we don't become so big-headed that we memorize certain parts, that we have to keep coming back. And that, brothers and sisters, takes away your doubt. But you have to keep coming back. Now I have, and I've spoken of this I think once before, I have a guilty pleasure. See, I leave for work sometime between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. Most times it's around 4:30. And I love AM radio. I love it. I get on that thing and punch that scan button because I'm always listening for stations from where they come from. From Buffalo, New York, or from down south somewhere. I love it. And have you ever noticed that when you're dialing in your AM radio, you get to that one where the things are wee, 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 wee. I believe that's aliens talking to us. No, I really don't. But there is a program that I will fess up to you. I cannot stop listening to it. It is a guilty pleasure. It's called Coast to Coast AM. Now, most of you are not up at that time in the morning. You should be. You should be up with me. I'll start calling you all before I leave for work in the morning. And on this program, the host discusses with a wide range of people the possibility of aliens, alien abductions, how the Earth is going to reverse its magnetic poles and shift and we're going to crash into the sun, how we were seeded by aliens, how we were raised up by beings with a higher consciousness. And every now and then he lets a Christian get on there, and the Christian speaks, and the host is not really, he's not biased, he just hosts the program. But people get on and talk, and they go back and forth. But the recent one, this woman named Linda Moulton Howell, goes on there this week, and she said, if we could simply teach the world that fundamentalist traditional Christian ideas are simply a gathering of a collective of a group of men who wanted to control a population at a time when it needed controlling, and come to understand that we were put here by beings higher than ourselves who came to this planet to give us life, we would be further ahead. As I wrestled the car back onto the road and pried my fingers out of the steering wheel, I started to laugh. And it's sad, though, because there are people that will hear that fake news and become so full of doubt that they will lose their way. But I agree with her. What? Well, I absolutely agree with one thing she said. Anybody know what she said that I would agree with? What? You got it, boy. You get an extra candy bar later tonight that I'll share with you. We were created by a higher intelligence. Say amen. Yes. Are we smarter than God?
No.
I guarantee you we're not. But the problem with this country is, no, I'm sorry, the problem with this world is we hear these things that are so fantastic and so great that sometimes we want to believe them. Recently, in February of this year, in an accredited newspaper, the Washington Post, had this headline. You ready? And this was their headline. White House, GOP train crash was deep state assassination attempt. What? Now, do you all remember the train crash back in February? When they were going up to, I guess, West Virginia, and the old boy with the trash truck drove out in front of the train. That became a conspiracy theory that it was a deep state attempt to to assassinate the members of the grand old public, the GOP party, and put the House back fully in the hands of the Liberal Democrats. And everybody started buying into it. But another site said, no, well, now wait a minute. The day before, the crossing arms had been written up for not working correctly. And the guy that drove the truck across the tracks had been out of service because he had too many hours. He wasn't supposed to be driving. And they found some stuff in his system, some cold medicine or whatever. He just drove out in front of the train. It happens all the time. But because of this situation, suddenly became doubt. Doubt. And you know what? Your idiot pastor read the same thing and went, oh, they're trying to take it. And then I was like, the other side of my shoulder went, hey, snap out of it, dummy. But the facts are, if you have Facebook and Twitter and any other of these social media interests out there, that story went nuts. And on Facebook today, you can pretty much, or any of them social media outlets, you can put anything you want down and people will freak out. If I went on Facebook today and put that I'm planning on retiring and just left it there, man, it would light up like a Christmas tree. Because people have fear of being wrong. They would rather placate their doubt than stand firm on the truth many times. Let me ask you a question. By show of hands, how many people in this room have ever had a doubt? Keep them up. How many people in this room have ever had a doubt about the Bible? Keep them up. You all really have? Man, shame on you. I'm going to tell you something right now that's okay. You can doubt the Bible a little bit. What? Because when you do that in your Christian walk for faith, when somebody says something about this book and causes you to doubt this book, your job is to what? Open it and read it and learn it and see that they're really foolish. That's what G. Campbell Morgan did. He heard all these great people. Darwin, the great evolutionist, his theory was that we came from pond scum. That something happened and suddenly the pond scum started to mutate and we became slugs. And I can attribute that sometimes we might still be slugs. Y'all see my boys when it's time to get up for church on Sunday morning. But if you tell them on Saturday morning, we're going to the arcade, well, they're like. And he went on to theorize that we are evolutionized. We come from pot scum. And that's the truth. That's what he said. And I love how Christian scientists always ask the same question. Where is the link? I did not come from monkeys. I mean, I may act like one every now and then. What's that? You're both talking at the same time.
You want a monkey, too.
Oh, now, come on. I do want a monkey. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing? One of them little monkeys, you know, put him on my shoulder, call him Trigger, teach him to do things for me. Trigger, go get him. Ask my wife if I'm allowed to have a monkey. No. We're getting off topic. You get in enough doubt because of the surroundings of us, because we tend to detach ourselves from this book, you start wondering which way is up. Brothers and sisters, this book should never be more than a hand's reach away. Because doubt turns into fear, which turns into destruction. And so in comes doubt, and with that we need to truly consider Thomas. And what Thomas has set up is the story of the modern day Christian. You don't think so? 2,000 years ago, Thomas began what would become the modern day Christian. He would show that doubt is real. He would show that doubt has its place. He would show that doubt, if left unchecked, leads to fear, which leads to you pulling further and further away from the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thomas is one who knows Christ. He didn't just meet him yesterday. He didn't just roll up on him. He knew Christ. He believed in Christ. He's one that seeks and asks. And knowing is doubt. Knowing that doubt is something that he can only conquer with Jesus Christ. He goes to Jesus Christ. But let me remind you of the strength of Thomas. Back in John's writings. Back in John's writings, chapter 11, in the 14th verse, Jesus speaking, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. Let us go to him. Now hold it right there on that 14th verse. Lazarus, Jesus' friend, has died. And they wanted him to come and save him before he died. But Jesus didn't. Because he had a lesson to teach. And so he said, for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. He's not talking to thousands of people. He's talking to his 12. And then he says, let us go to him. Let us get up and go to where Lazarus is, where he's dead. Let us go back to where they want to stone and kill all 12 of us. Let us walk back into the hatred, the doubt, the fear, the aggravation. Let us go back there. And the disciples said, I don't really want to do that. But Thomas, verse 15, then Thomas called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, now listen to this. Let us also go that we may die with him. That's powerful. That's brave. That's strong. Thomas in those moments is setting a new direction for the disciples. And he is starting to show himself as someone who is not afraid to ask the questions, face his doubt, because he knows his Jesus is real. Let us go, that if we go with him and they kill him, let us be with him when they die, when he dies, so that we may die with him. With him. Go back to your scripture for a moment. But he said unto them, verse 25, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. At least once a year, you hear that screaming headline come across the news. The Virgin Mary was found in the shape of sand along the beach. Or you get in the counter, that you get in the line at the grocery store, and there's National Enquirer. I found the Virgin Mary in my pancake batter when I was mixing it up. I can make the Virgin Mary too by drawing it on my skillet. But it puts a little doubt in your head. Should I make fun of that? Should I believe it? Is it possible? I need to see it. I need to hold it. I need to understand it. I'm a touch feel kind of guy. Thomas is saying, look, I've seen the Lord, I've seen his death, but until he comes back and stands right in front of me, I do not believe you, because I am not sure at which direction you guys are going, because you have had doubt yourself, and so I will see him, and I will not believe until he comes in front of me. That's bold, and that's strong, and far too often Thomas gets a bad rap, because we Christians see ourselves in Thomas. The Bible says, what, a week later, Jesus Christ appeared in a room where a door was locked and walked right over to him and said, Thomas, here, put your hand in my side. I consider Thomas to be truly brave, with a faith greater than we give him credit for. Thomas was believed to have sailed to India in 50 AD to spread the Christian faith. And according to Syrian traditions, he was killed at St. Thomas Mount in Chennai in 72 AD. Ephrem the Syrian states that the apostle was martyred in India and that his relics were taken to Edessa. Here we go. Thomas is put forth as the earliest known record of Christian martyrdom. The man who doubted, the man who we always refer to as Doubting Thomas, was the first one known to die for his Savior. Not much is known about how he was executed, but that may be to the fact that he was a missionary so far away. Church tradition says that while he was establishing a church there, he was stabbed with a spear and died from the wound. The irony here is that Thomas was told to touch the side of Jesus Christ. But it goes further than that. The man who doubted became one of the greatest producers of faith. The records of Barbosa from the early 16th century inform us that his faith was so great that a Muslim kept a lamp burning near his tomb day and night. An ancient oral tradition retained by the Guarani tribes of Paraguay claims that Thomas came to see them and that he lived among them and that he brought them great faith. And today, those tribes are great Christians. And even so with that, it's considered sometimes fake news that the Austrian missionary and writer F.J. Martin Dorbrehofzer, who spoke with the warlord of the tribe, the warlord said to me, "We don't need priests because Holy Father Thomas the Apostle, walked on our homeland himself and he taught us about the truth and praying in the name of Jesus Christ." Dorbrehofzer believed that it was almost impossible for that legend to be truthful, although with the guidance of the almighty power of God, there was a chance for Thomas the Apostle to have arrived in the Paraguayan lands. 150 years prior to that, another missionary found the same thing. They had doubt, and yet they put it in God's hands. So, okay. With all the fake news out there, what is the point to everything that I'm trying to achieve here today? I want you to understand your doubt. Norman Shirk, in 1981, while he was attending the Dallas Seminary, wrote this poem. "Let me meet you on the mountain, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to burn a whole bush, just a few smoking branches, and I would surely be your Moses. Let me meet you on the water, Lord, just once. It wouldn't have to be on White Rock Lake, just a puddle after the annual Dallas rain, and I would surely be your Peter. Let me meet you on the road, Lord, just once. You wouldn't have to blind me on North Central Expressway, just a few bright lights on the way to chapel, and I would surely be your Paul. Let me just meet you, Lord, just once. Anywhere, anytime. Just meeting you in the Word is so hard sometimes. Why must I always be your Thomas?" Now we have doubt, and we fall prey to this fake news. And the fake news is not just the stuff you hear on the headlines. There's stuff like the one of my favorite ones that's going around right now is, "There ain't no way the ark held all the animals," when you compare how big the ark actually was compared to a football stadium or a 747 or something like that. "This ain't no way that boat held all them animals." And yet if you watch them tear that down one by one, they explain, no, it didn't hold all the animals because some of them flew. Some of them were creatures in the sea to start with. The animals at that time were contained within the ark. Thomas finishes his lesson to all of us with this. How do you get rid of doubt? You conquer doubt with faith. You counteract doubt with faith. You put your doubt aside with faith. And we learned it by seeing Thomas took the word out and taught it where doubt and fear was. He replaced it with faith. And we need it. When I preach a funeral, I always do it from the angle of faith to remove the fear which comes from doubt. Always from the angle of faith. Black Bart was a professional thief whose very name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. From San Francisco to New York, his name became synonymous with the danger of the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, He did it all without firing a single shot. Because a hood hid his face. No victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage and was never trailed by the sheriff. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. His sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guard. Doubt! Fear! Faith is the answer to doubt. Who in this room's got faith? Say amen. That was pitiful. Do you not have faith? Is it not that strong? Are you not proud of your faith? Lord, lift me up and plant my feet on higher ground. That kind of faith? Who in this room's got faith? Say amen.
Amen.
That's more like it. You know you all have faith. Let me ask you a question. You go in a dark room, what's the first thing you do? How do you know it's going to work? Are you an electrician? Are you a transmission line installation officer? Are you a nuclear station regulator? Did you build your own house? How do you know it's going to work? Pray, Pat. Faith. You just walk in. Oh, it's dark in here. Should I try to walk through this dark room knowing that I have children and they never pick up anything? No. I shall turn on the light. Click, and the light comes on. And you don't think about it. You don't realize what's going on behind that wall socket. Because you have
faith.
All right. Now we're getting somewhere. And faith destroys doubt. Thomas teaches us that out of our fear, which is doubt, comes the greatest faith. And faith comes from what we learned last Sunday. What did we learn last Sunday? Say it.
He is risen.
A four-letter word. Who said that? Say it again, all of you. Hope.
Oh.
That's right. From hope, we get the other side of faith. And faith gives us hope. And doubt gives us fear. And if we stay too long from His Word, from His teachings, from His belief, the fear takes over. But if we stop when we're in doubt, and we wander back to this book, to the Word, to the concrete truth that we know, our faith is restored, our doubt is taken away, and we're lifted up. That erases everything. Faith takes everything out. It comes from facing the reality of doubt and the reassurance of hope, which produces faith. But let the faith be true and strong. You understand me? Let it be true and strong. Be prepared to show your faith in the most unlikely of places. A man fell off a cliff, but he managed to grab a tree limb on the way down, and there he hung. And the following conversation ensued. Is anyone up there? He called out, is anyone up there? He said, I am here, Paul. I am the Lord. You believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe, I really believe, I believe, but I can't hold on much longer. That's all right, Paul. If you really believe, you have nothing to worry about. Do you believe in me? Yes, I truly believe in you, Lord, I do. I believe in you. I will save you, Paul. Just let go of the branch. Little brief pause. The next words. Is anyone else up there? We have to let our faith be strong. We have to let it be true. We have to be prepared that when we have doubt and the Lord replaces it with faith, He's not always going to replace it with something easy. He's going to make us work a little bit. He's going to make us step out there. Today we learn of the appearance of our Lord through the eyes and faith, not the doubt of Thomas. There is bravery and faith within his story. Yes, he doubted. Everybody in this room doubts, right? Amen?
Amen.
You doubt about everything, don't you? I said amen.
Amen.
You doubt about, there's all kinds of things that can get after you. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do? Go back to the Lord in faith. He said to Thomas, blessed are you who have seen me and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believe. Erasing that doubt with faith. And from faith we produce, what's that word?
Hope.
Hope. It is told that the African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo in your backyard with a 3-foot-tall fence. Huh? See, the animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet will fall. Faith is the ability to trust what we cannot see. And with faith, we are freed from the flimsy enclosures of life that only fear allows us to be trapped by. Brothers and sisters, you have my permission to doubt. It's okay. Thomas doubted. If you doubt and you turn back to the Lord and the strength of His Word, your faith will be restored, your hope will come forward, and you will be able to go forward to those who doubt and say, hey, Jesus does love you. And He's as real today as He has ever been. So here's my charge to each and every one of you for the week to come. Take your doubt and walk it back into the Bible. Let your faith be strengthened so that you will bring hope to those around you. And I pray that He blesses you richly as you grow in that lesson. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the story of Thomas. We didn't even scratch the true story of St. Thomas, but we thank You for that story. We thank You that he did what he did, that we may learn from him and grow from him. Because certainly his faith was tested and his doubt was assailed. It was brought forth to him, and yet over and over again he returned back to You, to the Word, and taught and led and taught and led and died for You. Father, I am praying for my brothers and sisters today that while they will continue to have doubt until we reach that blissful shore, until we tread the streets of gold, until we see You face to face, that doubt will serve only as a reminder to push out the fear, restore our faith, and spread the hope. Thank You, Father, for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.